raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Good morning, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. Here we are. We're almost on the last chapter of our book. Can you believe that? We have worked hard and we got it done. It happened so quick. I can't even believe. If you're new here, we are studying End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophets. And I have this answer key. My wonderful, lovely assistant has the study guide. Yes. Hello, Tammy. Good morning. So, yes, morning. We have these minor prophets. As I've been working on the new book, The Golden Age, it's like so many of these promises about the Golden Age are in the minor prophets. It's no wonder that they did not want us to read those books. We really just, that's old history. That's ancient history. Who cares? We care. I'm so glad. Give me the thumbs up if you are glad that we know about the minor prophets and how they were telling us about this day. I know. Get excited. I'm Melissa Redpill. If you guys don't know, I am I'm the Bible lady. We look at the current events in the light of God's word. This is biblical. This is biblical. Actually, someone just posted that. Anna Paulina Luna posted yesterday how amazing our wonderful Tulsi Gabbard is, and she says she's literally fighting demons. She says this is biblical. Seriously. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. Hey, Anna Paulina Luna, have you been watching our show? Do you know this is literally biblical? She may be a Q follower, but she is. And just so you know, she worked with Charlie on Turning Point. I just feel like, you know, these people know what's going on. All right. Now, if you're new here, don't forget, hit the like button right now. Hit it. Hit the like button. Always make sure that your bell is rung on our channels, because you need to know when we're going live, because you just never know. And so this is my site right here. You can either get to it from freedomforce.live or see simply melissaredpill.com, melissaredpill.com, and check it out. You're going to love all the great resources. I have so many videos about how this is biblical, the lost tribes of Israel, the truth about that. I mean, just have the decode of Revelation. If you haven't seen the end times research, it's all right here. Here is the main book, the first book that I wrote, which is the decode of Revelation, End Times and 1,000 Years of Peace. I should have said the End Times and the Golden Age, but President Trump hadn't called it that yet. But anyway, Golden Age is 1,000 Years of Peace. And so then we also, this is the book, Major Clues. So I hope you've done your homework. We've got the study guide, but you've got to, you know, read the book first, then do the study guide and really think through it and really. If that's how you do it, if you want to learn anything. Oh, no. I knew that was going to happen. Okay, y'all want to talk to my mom? Okay. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that. Hey, Mom. Hey, we're live. We're live on our show. I knew you were going to call. Say hey to everybody.
I'll call you later.
Okay, I love you.
Hey, everybody.
All right, bye.
Gibraltar.
Okay, oh, you're at the Rock of Gibraltar. Okay, all right. I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye. Yeah, so Mom is on a trip. Yeah, you guys know how she's doing so well from having the, after the surgery, she was in terrible pain. She was on 3 opioids a day, and then praise the Lord, he directed us to Dr. Laura at prescribinglife.com, and now my mom has her life back. Yesterday, I think her day before, she said she walked 12,000 steps. And I'm not going to tell you how old my mom is, but just do the math. She's doing amazing, and I believe that she'll have that she'll be like what the Lord says in Jasher, that she'll live as long as a tree, as it says in Isaiah 65, and she'll also become like a youth. And I think we'll have age reversal. I really do believe that the Lord has promised that to us. So I knew that was going to happen because she's 7 hours ahead of us. And so she's at the Rock of Gibraltar. She goes and goes and goes, and like a little Energizer bunny. But anyway, so back to our story. We're going to study about Amos. Amos. I love my Amos. And so definitely check into that. And so my wonderful Tammy is going to read for us some of it. But if, you know, I want to, some of the passages I get really excited about. Some are like, I want to read that one. All right. So here's where you get the books let me see if I can refresh this. This is my Amazon link. All right. Come on. My Amazon link is right there. Okay, there we go. There the books are, $2.99 on Amazon, so we can share this. And thank you if you've read these books. Please go and put a comment. I have over 3,600 positive reviews, so thank you so much. And 1,180 on Major Clues from Minor Prophets. Thank you so much. And also, this is biblical. I didn't even show it. That's my little, it never gets talked about. These are all these Bible stories that are happening before our eyes. I mean, literally every Bible story is being reenacted before our eyes. It's really amazing. And also I wrote this one years ago, Jesus the Miracle Man. All right, so let's get started. This is where we are in the book, End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. We are on chapter 14. There's only 15 chapters. So we're like there. If you want to, you can go over to, if you missed the beginning ones, you can go to End Times right here, intro, and then you can find all of the videos that we've done before. Tammy has put those there for us. Thank you, lovely Tammy, for doing that for us. All right, so this is where we are. This is chapter 14. Amos, read the end of the story first. Okay, that's an interesting title. It's because at the end it tells the good news. I'm like, okay, we've got to know where we're going to have the to have the strength to get there. Because if you sit there and tell more bad news about, you know, the cabal, it's just too much, right? But I started the book from the end. I started this book of Amos from the end. And so that's where we're going to start. I don't know why I'm calling you Amos today. Tammy's going to get started and we're going to pray. Okay. Thank you so much, Lord, that you have given all of this to us long, long, long ago, 3,000 years ago, where they were speaking right to us. And just like clockwork, this is happening. We're seeing it. You've given us the eyes to see it. Some people don't see it, but we see it as clear as day. We thank you for how you've revealed all these things to us and helped us to escape the matrix of lies, of deception. And just thank you that we're going to see the complete fulfillment of your promises that are in Amos and all the other minor prophets' books, all throughout God, your word, and that you've promised this for us. You say, eye is not seen and ear is not heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what you've prepared for those who love you. And you tell your people, come enter into your kingdom, prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you have prepared this for us. And we just really can't even imagine how wonderful it's going to be. But we're going to read, we're going to learn from these books and get an inkling and just to give us the courage and the hope to keep fighting until we see these days of golden bliss come upon us. We pray all this in your great name, Jesus, and ask you to speak to us as we study. Amen. All right. You ready, Miss Tammy?
I am.
I know you are always ready. She's always ready to go. She's my wonderful sidekick. All right. Let's do it. Go.
Okay. So who is Edom and what will happen to them? So Amos 9:11, in that day I will raise up the tent of David who has fallen and close up its breaches, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnants of Edom. and all the nations who are called by my name, says Yahweh, who does this.
All right. We've studied before about Edom. I'll just remind you guys, in the book of Obadiah is really the downfall of Edom. And so Edomites are the descendants of Esau. Esau was the evil twin brother of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And so, remember, Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had these twin boys, Esau and Jacob. Now, again, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. The problem with Esau is that he had no care about the kingdom of the Lord. He had no care about doing what was right. He was bad to the bone. And he completely different from his brother. Now, the very strange thing is, if you go to most churches, they will tell you that Jacob was the bad one, that Esau was mistreated and he was tricked. And that is not the truth. The truth is he was bad, and the Lord did not want the blessing to go to him, even though he was the firstborn. The Lord did not want the blessing to go to him because that's basically, the world would be run by evildoers. The blessing was that Jacob received was that he would rule the earth. And Edom's mad about that to this day. Esau is mad, and his descendants, the Edomites, are mad. Now, I want to mention before we go on is that, remember, it's not as much about the physical progeny. The Bible says the flesh profits nothing. It's not about the bloodline. Biblically, it's really not, that's not the issue. The issue is the heart. And so but unfortunately, this whole clan had been raised up thinking that this was their right. The right to take the land, their right to do evil, their right to do, because they were they deserved it, okay? And so when he didn't get to be able to rule, he was mad. He says, well, I'm going to rule anyway, all right? So this is what he's talking about. He says that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name. So he's saying, we're going to take back everything that the Edomites have stolen from us. So again, as I always say, let's think about it as good and evil. Really, Jacob representing the good and Edom representing the evil, okay? All right. And so just a side note, when you read Romans 9, I think that really helps you to go, okay, I see it's not so much about Esau, but about symbolically there are those that the Lord has saved and rescued and changed their hearts, and that's you are in that group, and there are those that the Lord has left and said, okay, you are going to just be on your own, and I'm not going to really regenerate your heart and really make you alive and spiritually. I'll just leave you to yourself, and that's the worst thing that could ever happen to anyone. So, all right, I'll raise up the tent of David who has fallen and close up its breaches, and I'll raise up its ruins, and I'll build it as in the days of old. Thank you, Lord, that he is doing that before our eyes. We are seeing that happening before our eyes, that all every day we're seeing the enemy is being destroyed. We're seeing their, like this week, this is the 25th of October, 2025, and this very week we saw that like the top crime bosses in our country were arrested. Shocking. But that's a big part of closing up these breaches, stopping those who have been able to get away with all this crime for so long because they've owned the judges, they've owned the election machines and all that. I find it very interesting that this happened just before the election. So anyway, we'll get to that probably tomorrow morning when we have our show. But he is getting everything safe, everything secure, everything done properly, and going to be rebuilding. We're rebuilding our the world, so it's a beautiful place, and the bad guys have to go. All right, anything else, Miss Tammy, about that?
That was good.
All right, now the next one, number two.
Hey, in Amos 13 through 15, what are some of the wonderful promises we are given? Behold, the day comes, says Yahweh, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the one treading grapes, him who sows seed, and sweet wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills. I will bring my people Israel back from captivity, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. And they will plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they will no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says Yahweh your God.
Yay! That was one of my favorite ones. That the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the one treading grapes, him who sows seed. What does that mean? That means that, imagine you're a plowman, and you've been reaping the harvest and gathering up the grain, and you finish one row, and next thing you know, oh, it's already grown back. So you, what does that mean? You're just, it's like, I have so much wealth, I can't even count it all. I've got to get more barns to put more of this grain in. I've got to sell more grain and fill up my bank account with more money. That's what it's talking about, that we will have more than we need. We'll have more money than we need. We'll have more time than we need. We'll have more energy than we need. We'll have more everything than we need. The days come that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. He's already plowing before you know. It's like it just keeps going and going and going. So that's what's really is a beautiful thing. One treading grapes, him who sows seed, and sweet wine will drip from the mountains and flow from the hills. I'll bring my people back from captivity. So some people think that, oh, that must mean the what we saw happen in Israel returned to the land. That's not it. That's not it. Clearly, that is not the blessing that we've been waiting thousands of years for. No. The scattered tribes will be restored to the Lord, and we'll recognize our identity. Many of us are Israelites, and we didn't even know it. But bottom line, we're going to have our freedom wherever we are. It's returning from captivity, no longer under captivity, no longer under the boot of these tyrants. Of course, they're going to say, the tyrants are going to say that they are, it was them. They're the ones who are, No. This is the promise to all of God's people all over the world that they will no longer be under captivity. And that is all throughout God's word, that one day that will happen. And that's what we're witnessing. So beautiful. And he's going to rebuild all this and no more plucked up. Oh, I just saw the saddest video of this Palestinian family where these two thugs were coming along, just basically trying to push them off the land. And they're like, what are we supposed to do? Because if they harm these children, and they were like 10 and 12, ridiculous, the young thugs. And, they were trying to pluck them up off of their land. And then where would they go? Where would they go? It was just, the man was just like, he didn't even know what to do. It's just been awful. And that day, that will stop. That has to stop. Has to stop. It will stop. All right. So before we go on, I wanted to show you one quick thing. Okay, this is, what is that verse, Tammy, real quick? Amos, what now was it that you just read?
Oh, okay.
Amos
9:13-15.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to read the super quick. We're going to read the NLT because I think it's a little bit clearer in there, and I want to just read that super quick while we're here. 9-13. You said
13-15.
Thank you. The time will come when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. I know that's a little bit small. Let's go make it real big. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I'll bring my exiled people of Israel back from the distant lands, and they will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them again. They'll plant vineyards and gardens. They'll eat their crops and drink their wine. I will firmly plant them there in their own land. They will never again be uprooted from the land I have given to them. And that means wherever you live, you can live in Timbuktu. You're going to have that land, and you will be free on that land, and no one will bother you. You'll be able to, keep it, and no confiscatory taxes where they're basically stealing your land. You will just be able to live in peace. Praise the Lord, who is ready for that. Yeah, I like the way the NLT makes it so easy. The grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. I love it. Just NLT is great. We had to use the WEB version in the book because what's the word?
Proprietary.
Yeah. It's the opposite of proprietary. Let's see. Whatever it is. It's a free use one. You can use it without, NLT has a proprietary. All right, so now we'll go on to question number 3. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add to that? Anybody before? I'll look in the chat before we go on. All right, so, but go ahead to number 3, and then we'll see if they have anything to add.
So what is in store for the Edomites, even though the Lord makes it very clear he is using them to punish the Israelites? Yahweh says, for 3 transgressions of Edom, yes, for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because he pursued his brother with a sword. and cast off all pity, and his anger raged continually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I will send a fire on Teman, and it will devour the palaces of Bozrah.
Right. Those are towns of the Edomite cities, okay, basically. Mm-hmm. And so it's symbolic of the place from which they you know, do their evil, okay, the evil cities. Whereas you think of the Jerusalem is symbolically the city of peace, the city of, you know, God's peace and goodness. Clearly not always being done that way. Now it's not about the physical city. It's about a symbolic city. A city is people. It's not a place on a map. And so when you look here with Amos chapter 1, now we're starting now at the beginning of Amos. We told you the good news. Now we're going to talk about the bad news of what has Edom done. And he's saying that, for all these sins that they've done, for 3 transgressions and 4. We talk like that, don't we? Like for 5 and 6. I mean, it's just like these people will not stop doing all their evil. The Lord says, I will not turn away their punishment. And for you and me, thank you, Lord, that because we've repented and we've turned to Christ, we are forgiven, and that he forgives our sins. And he as far as the east is from the west. But these people, he remembers their sin because they refuse to repent. And they just think, okay, well, I have the right to do these things. I have the right to take these people's land. I have the right to kill people. I have the right to, you know, spray them and whatever. And so he says, I will not to have pity. I will not, he says, I'll cast off all pity. I won't let them go. But they cast off, I'm sorry, the Lord says he won't show pity because they didn't show pity. He says they cast off all pity and their anger rage continually. They're continually finding a way to do evil. And I was just talking to Mr. Wonderful this morning. You know, here it is, the 25th of October. We had 3 glorious weeks of blue skies after the shutdown. And so it was very obvious that this was being paid for through our government. And if you remember, our wonderful president said that we're shutting down some things that we don't want. Well, he didn't say chemtrails, but we knew that that's what he was talking about. And so a lot of the normies were saying, hey, you know, what is this deal, this blue blue sky? I've not seen this in years. And it woke them up. People who had, you know, you maybe tried to tell about chemtrails before, and they're spraying us like a bug and ruining our crops and our soil. And they just wouldn't, you know, they're like, oh, whatever, you know, talk about the weather. Not really. Anyway, talk about football game, whatever. Anyway, so when they saw the blue sky, all of a sudden they said, hey, oh, I forgot that's what the sky's really supposed to look like. And now they've just started spraying again. So I think that they have gathered their resources or whatever it is to start spraying outside of the government. They, you know, the government was doing it, so now they're having to do it themselves, and now they've started again. And we had a terrible, I don't know about you guys, but we had a terrible storm here last night. But they just won't stop. They just won't stop. They won't stop. You see what's going on in Israel right now. Again, it's the 25th of October. President Trump has said the war's over. Everyone in the Middle East, 59 countries, have said the war's over. It's over. We're done. It's over. And they just won't stop. They say, oh, we're annexing the West Bank. They will not stop. That's what it's talking about right here in Amos chapter 1, verse 11. Because they pursued their brother with the sword, they cast off all pity, their anger raged continually, and they kept their wrath forever. They just won't stop. So the Lord says, okay, then I won't show pity either. I will send that fire on them to punish them. All right. So anything else? And then we'll go on to number 4.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Amos prophesied that the Lord also lays blame on the people of Judah and Israel. Read Amos 2, 4 through 8 and explain why and what had the Israelites participated. So Yahweh says, for 3 transgressions of Judah, yes, for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have rejected Yahweh's law and have not kept his statutes, and their lies have led them astray, after which their fathers walked. But I will send a fire on Judah, and it will devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Yahweh says, for 3 transgressions of Israel, yes, for 4, I will not turn away its punishment, because they have sold the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. They trampled the heads of the poor to the dust of the earth and denied justice to the oppressed. A man and his father used the same maiden to profane my holy name. They lay themselves down beside every altar on clothes taken in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink the wine of those who have been fined.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's break this down. Yeah. This is a no bueno. This is, these people are just so evil. So evil. It says, for all these transgressions. I love the way he says it. For three transgressions and for four. Y'all hear what he's saying? Do you see here? It's just, it's the way he's saying it is to bring out that they just are constantly doing more, right? He says, I won't turn away the punishment. I will not. I remember when I would read this before, I was like, who are these people? What is going on? And now that I'm awake, I realize who it is. I just didn't understand. And they try to make it out like it's you. You're the bad one. No, we're not. We're the righteous of the earth. You know, are we perfect? No, but we walk with the Lord. We walk with the Lord. We're not trying to hurt people all the time and take from people. Look at this. It says that their lies, you know, their lies have led them astray. He says, I will send the fire on them. It will devour their palaces. And for three transgressions of four of Israel. Okay, so first it says Judah right here, right? Of Judah and then of Israel. Now remember, the northern tribes were Israel and the southern two tribes were Judah. So it's happening in both places. It's not just one, you know, the northern tribes or the southern tribes. It's both. It's been riddled through both. And that's why both the tribes of Judah in the south and the 10 tribes of Israel in the north both had to be sent into captivity because they were doing, they were following this evil. And again, as I've said in every lesson I think we've done, this has a dual fulfillment. Yes, this was a fulfillment for the day, 3,000 years ago or 2,700, somewhere in there, that these people were, you know, doing this evil. But it's really a fulfillment of the evildoers that we're fighting this day. And so it's a dual fulfillment, all right? And that's why I think that I didn't realize that when I would read it. And so I thought, hey, you know what? This is just old, you know, this is ancient history. What do I care? This is over. But it's not, because we're fighting the same people, the same evildoers, the same Satan worshipers. He says, because they sold the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. And so think about it this way. Just everybody is, we're not pinched down financially because that's just the way it is. It's intentional. They have put us in financial straits intentionally. They've made it where it's just about impossible to survive. They did this on purpose. And you see stacks and stacks and stacks of gold. I'm sure you guys have seen it. They've got stacks of gold. They could, you know, they've stored up and gathered all this up, not because they need it, but because they don't want us to have it. And so really the reason for that is, yes, they get satanic glee out of harming us, but it's more than that. They like to have, they want us to be so stressed out and so exhausted from how hard we have to labor just to provide for, you know, food and shelter, that we don't have any time to fight against them. That's what they really want. All right. So somehow or another, the Lord is giving us the ability to do it in this day. It's really a miracle. So they sold the righteous for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals. Just, they don't need the silver. They don't need the sandals. They just take and make it where you just can't even have shoes on your feet. They trample the heads of the poor into the dust. They deny justice to the oppressed. Oh, my goodness, have we seen that? And I'm just going to have to say I'm excited that these top criminals were arrested. We've been waiting on these arrests. I don't know that people realize how big this is. This is bigger than, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow on the show, but it's bigger than just some kind of gambling issue. This is about taking out the top mafia crime bosses who've been controlling all the judges, who've been controlling the courts, who've been controlling the elected officials, who've been controlling everything, probably these chemtrails. I mean, this is who we're just arrested. Gigantic. It's really gigantic. Those ones who've denied justice to the oppressed. In other words, they can get away with murder and we can't even get justice, the simplest thing. They've made it where it's just, the courts are just so frustrating. A man and his father used the same maiden to profane my holy name. I don't think I'm going to have to go into detail on that. Okay, you can figure that one out. They laid themselves down beside every altar on clothes taken in pledge. Okay, so this was a clothes taken in pledges. Like if someone had to have a loan, even with the clothes on their back, they're like, oh, you didn't pay off your loan. We're taking that the shirt off your back. And so we're putting this down by this altar saying, see, Satan, look what we did. Look what we did. We took the clothes right off of their back. That's what it's talking about. These people are disgusting. They're evil. Evil. In the house of their God, they drink the wine of those they have fined. They take your shirt. They take your sandals. They take your wine. All that. Okay. That makes perfectly good sense. And the Lord says, I will not let them go unpunished because of that. All right. Number five.
These next passages in Amos are talking about all the tribes of kingdoms of Israel being taken captive into Assyria in 720 BC. But Amos is also giving us clues on how the Lord will destroy that modern-day hard-hearted criminal gang called the New World Order. Now that we've studied many of the other minor prophet decodes, can you spot the New World Order in these passages? What was happening in Bethel, which means the house of God? For in the day that I visit the transgressions of Israel on him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I will strike the winter house for the summer house, and the houses of ivory will perish, and the great houses will have an end.
Right. All right. So, okay, so as it says here, they were talking about the northern tribes being taken off into captivity into Assyria in 720 B.C., but it's also talking about the dual fulfillment of what is happening now. So can you see, what they were doing? Can you spot the New World Order in these passages? All right. So it says here it says, I'll visit the altars of Bethel and the horns of the altar will be cut off and fall to the ground. I've talked about this before, that you've got the horns are where you go. And if you have had something happen that you can, let's say if you accidentally killed somebody and you didn't mean to, it's just an accident, you could run to the altar and you would hold on to that horn on the end of the altar. Think of it like a shofar horn, and you would hold on to it, and that's your mercy, and say, I let me tell you what really happened. And you're standing right there holding on to that horn. But they've broken off. They've fallen to the ground. So there's nowhere for you to go to get justice and to tell your side of the story, right? I will strike the winter house and the summer house, the houses of ivory, and they will the great houses will have an end. All right. So what was happening in Bethel? This is the very house of God that they are doing this evil. All right. So do you have anything else to add on that one?
No, I think you got it.
Okay. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to add from the teacher guide. The very same pagan altars that the Israelites had used, but they I wanted to add that they want it to be where they're using something that is sacred, and they're using it for evil.
They do on everything they do. Very mockingness on everything.
Right, and also I just saw someone taking a cross off of someone. Because that's our, one of our sacred symbols of our love for Christ, and they're taking it and treating it with disrespect, and that's what they love to do. It's demonic. That's what they want to do, and so they would take, this is why they take something that's precious and holy like a child. They want to destroy something that is precious and pure, and so the same way that they would take the altars of Bethel. Okay, and so that they would do all these evil things there. Their injustice and their evil. But all these beautiful homes that they've had, all these houses of ivory, will be taken from them. So, there you go. All right, so number six.
Okay, again we see in Amos 4:4 the sacrifices to the idols at Bethel. Those are the same evil rituals the cabal does. Those rituals brought them power through blackmail and by bribery. But what does the Lord say will happen? The Lord Yahweh has sworn by his holiness, behold, the day shall come on you that they will take you away with hooks, and the last of you with fish hooks. You will go out at the bricks in the wall, everyone straight before her, and you will cast yourselves into Harmon, says Yahweh. Go to Bethel and sin, to Gilgad and sin more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days.
All right. Yeah, go ahead and do that. In other words, he's kind of being sarcastic. Go ahead to Bethel, the house of God. Bethel literally means the house of God. Go ahead and go there and sin. Go ahead. Keep doing it. Go to Gilgal, which is another holy site. Go ahead and do that. Do your evil at Gilgal. I see exactly what you're doing. Yeah, bring your sacrifices, your evil sacrifices every morning, your tithes every day. Go ahead. You see what he's saying? That's what he's saying. He says, but you will be taken on fish hooks. You'll be taken away on hooks. I wish I had a video of these criminals who've been, I mean, like the top, y'all hear what he's saying, the top mafia bosses in our country. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, poor old Mexico is being run by the cartels. America has been run by the cartel. It just look, you know, we thankfully haven't had people hanging from bridges like you see in Mexico. It looks different, but it's still the mafia just the same. You cannot have all of this trafficking of children and drugs without having some kind of mafia cartel running it. And they control all the politicians. This has been a crime ring throughout our country. Happening in Venezuela and Colombia and all, you know, Mexico, all these countries. So, you know, this is what they have done, but they were taken away on hooks, on fish hooks. That's what he's talking about. They're going to be taken away on fish hooks. They got away with it and got away with it and got away with it until they didn't. And now my favorite picture, I think, of all time of President Trump is his picture of him being a gangster. Did y'all see that? Oh, my gosh, I said, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. He says, I got you, gangster. I got you, gangster. I love it. That made me so happy. He says, behold, the days will come on that on you that will they will take you away with hooks, and the last of you with fish hooks. Oh, I know, they're just beside themselves. They can't even believe. We must be close to the end of this movie because that's, yeah, yeah. You'll go out at the breaks of the wall. And everyone straight before her, and you will cast yourselves into Harmon. To be honest, I don't know what Harmon is. I need to look that up. Anyway, so go on and keep sinning. Your day's coming. In other words, it's like the Johnny Cash song: "Sooner and later, God will cut you down." Yay! Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. Who's excited? Oh, it's exciting days. We're witnessing. I'm so thankful we have the eyes to see it. There are so many people who are missing it. And we're seeing it. I'm just very, very thankful. All right. Now, anybody else have anything to add? I'll look at in the chat while Tammy does number 7.
Okay. What did the demon worshippers do when the Lord used suffering to try to wake them up? So 2 or 3 cities staggered to one city to drink water and were not satisfied. Yet you haven't returned to me, says Yahweh. I struck you with blight and mildew many times in your gardens and your vineyards. And the swarming locusts have devoured your fig trees and your olive trees. Yet you haven't returned to me, says Yahweh. I sent plagues among you like I did Egypt. I've slain your young men with a sword and have carried away your horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camp. Yet you haven't returned to me, says Yahweh. I have overthrown some of you, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a burning stick plucked out of the fire. Yet you haven't returned to me, says Yahweh.
All right. What did they do? What did the demon worshippers do when the Lord used suffering to try to wake them up? They didn't listen. They did not listen. He says, I struck you with blight. I struck you with mildew. I caused you all this trouble to try to get you wake up. Now, the good news is for you and me, you know, when we have suffered, it's caused us to turn to the Lord. Okay? And we've said, okay, I want to walk in a way that would bring honor to him. And it has changed our hearts. And there's an amazing verse that says, even our Lord Jesus learned obedience through that which he suffered. It's just such a strange verse to me because he's perfect. But he learned obedience through that which he suffered. And so have you, so have I. But these people don't. They do not learn. They just keep hardening their hearts and doubling down. I love that guy also. I got to go back to this. This guy, did y'all see the video? I've got that little clip where he says, you know, you're your luck has run out. You bet wrong, whatever. And you can bet on that. He did a great job. I'm not quoting it right. But the point is, he says, you guys bet wrong. You just bet wrong. You bet wrong. And, your luck has run out. It's really cute how he was using the gambling, the terminology. But think of it, it's bigger than gambling. It's much, 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 much bigger than gambling. It's think of, if you haven't watched the movie before, the Untouchables with Elliot Ness taking down these big mafia bosses. You've got to go and watch it because that's what we're seeing happening before our eyes. I did another huge post. It's like 27 page thread where it goes into all the connections and President Trump's been lying in wait for all these years. I better get off the subject. We're going to talk about this tomorrow, but it's really exciting. You know, they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. They kept doing these evil deeds for years and years and years. And now, they're gone on fish hooks. It's not just the little guys. These were the ones at the top. All right. So I sent plagues among you. I've slain your young men with swords. I filled your nostrils with stench from the camp. But you still refuse to return to me. You still refuse to repent. I've overthrown you. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. You're like a burning stick plucked out of the fire. But you still refuse to return to me. And anybody here disagree? That's exactly what we have seen. You think year after year after year after year, we've been fighting these people. And you would think that it would wake up and go, oh, you know, judgment is falling. Clearly, it's falling. And we've got to turn to the Lord. And they refuse. And that goes back to what I was talking about from Romans chapter 9, where it talks about the Lord had mercy on Jacob. On us, on the righteous, and he changed our hearts. And for the Edom, Esau, he left them to themselves. And they don't have the power. They don't have the ability. They don't have the new heart to repent. Give thanks to the Lord that you all have the heart to turn to him. It's of all the things, this is the biggest blessing. The biggest blessing is not health. The biggest blessing is not wealth. The biggest blessing is not anything you can put in a grocery cart or a basket at the store. The biggest blessing is to have a heart to turn to the Lord and repent. And that's why you are the blessed of the Lord who will enter into his kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. What an amazing, amazing blessing. And that we'll be with him physically. In the kingdom. We're so blessed. All right. So yeah, they wouldn't do it. They just really, really wouldn't do it because they don't have the heart to do it. They're filled with evil and they can't turn to Christ. That's why they're constantly wanting to harm people because they are filled with demons. That's what the demons do. That's what demons do. All right. So now, number 8.
The very same thing the Lord told the Israelites back in Amos' day. He's saying to these demon worships, which are worshipers in our day, what is the Lord saying, and what are the reactions today? How do they feel about the righteous? Seek me, and you will live. But don't seek Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal. And don't pass to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to nothing. Seek Yahweh, and you will live. Lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and it devour, and there be no one to quench it in Bethel. You who turn justice to wormwood, and cast down righteousness to the earth, seek him who made the Pleiades. I always get that word wrong.
Pleiades
and Orion, and turns the shadow of death into the morning, and makes the day dark with night, who calls for the waters of the sea, and pours them out on the surface of the earth. Yahweh is his name, who brings sudden destruction on the strong, so that destruction comes on the fortress. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks blamelessly.
All right. Yes. Pleiades. Right. Pleiades. All right. So, yeah, I was looking up something super quick, this Amos 4:3. Just before we move on, I just wanted to make sure that there's anything else I wanted to add to this Harmon that we just did, and then we'll get to this one. You'll be led out through the ruins of the wall. You'll be thrown from your fortress. 4:3. 4:3. Hang on. And you will cast yourselves into Harmon. Hermon. Okay. Okay, possibly a reference to Herman. Okay, so I was just like, oh, I need to clarify that. All right, so now, right. So anyway, Herman is which is one of the mountains of the Lord. You can't read it. Is it too small? Is that what you're saying? Wooden shoe. It's really big. It's really big. I don't know. Maybe it's your screen because I've got. Should I make it bigger? All right. So, here it says the Lord is saying to the demon worshipers in our day too to seek the Lord and to live, but they, like I said, they just can't do it. And I wanted to bring out what's this Gilgal and Bethel. I've told you a little bit about Bethel. That's the house of God, the temple of God. But the Gilgal, what is that? And if you remember when the people of God crossed over the Jordan, and they put 12 stones to remember that the Lord had saved them and had seen them through 40 years in the desert and had allowed them to cross over into the promised land. So it's like a monument. And, we're going to have so many monuments about how the Lord has delivered humanity from all the wanderings that we have been through. It's just going to be unbelievably wonderful. And, President Trump has talked about this, these monuments that they're going to be all over the country. It's just really going to be wonderful. So the monuments that they have, it says, I think it's these 12 stones. I think when you look at Gilgal, it talks about 12 stones, and I believe it's this. Now, I just got to go to Scotland, and we saw these places where they have these stones that were set up. If you're not familiar with the history of the lost tribes of Israel, the tribes of Judah, a lot of them moved into what we call the British Isles. And that's why it's been the place of the leadership, the rule has come from the British Isles. Even to this day, really, we're still fighting King George. If you didn't know that, the city of London still has its iron grip on us. But President Trump is going to break that down. Anyway, so when you look all throughout the countryside, whether it's in Ireland or England or Scotland, from here and there, you will find these circles of 12 stones. And that shows you the 12 tribes of Israel. And it's very much a picture of, because each one of the tribes is represented by one of the main constellations, Virgo, Taurus, all the different ones. So, that they, each one of them represents, that. And so it's like, you'll have God's people all over the world. There's no place you can go where it won't be his kingdom. That's the picture. When you see this circle of 12 stones, you think of God's people all over the world. All right. So, so when it says here about Gilgal, that's what it's talking about. It reminds everyone of, let me go back to this one. Okay. Well, I'm going to show you that one too. But anyway, it reminds you of, Gilgal is a place where they set up the stones, giving thanks to the Lord that he had rescued them. Just like we're going to give thanks to the Lord forever for rescuing us from these evildoers and bringing us into the golden age, whereas they were being so thankful they were being brought into the promised land. And so they would, of course, want to desecrate that. They don't want us to think these things as a beautiful place of a beautiful memento and a monument to what the Lord had done. They want us to think of it as a desecration. All right? They want to take something that's beautiful and make it out to turning it into something evil. That's why they've stolen our rainbow. They don't want us to think of the rainbow as something beautiful and the promise of the Lord. So we're taking our rainbow back. They can't have it. It's our symbol. They can't have our cross that represents that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. They can't have that. They can't have any of our beautiful things. Even if they desecrate them, we will continue to know that they represent the love of the Lord and how great he is and how faithful he is to his promise. Amen, Tammy?
Amen, yes.
So that's when you think of Gilgal. Now you'll know what that means. Gilgal is the 12 stones that were a memento for and a monument to the Lord's rescuing them from 40 years in the desert and bringing them into the promised land. All right. The other one is, he was saying here that she read, is... let me back up. Who turn justice to wormwood and you cast down righteousness to the earth. The Lord says, I will devour you. Okay. I will devour you, and you, there will be no one to quench it in Bethel. No one. You think these demons are going to protect you? They're not. They will not. And they will not save you in that day. And so he's saying here, you turn justice on its head. You turn justice to evil. And just, you know, where people go try to get justice and they end up getting in a worse situation. And you cast down righteousness to the earth. Seek him who made the Pleiades and Orion. The Lord made Pleiades. The Lord made Orion. Let me show you what they are. And he turns the shadow of death into morning. He makes the dark night, the day dark with night. And he calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out on the surface of the earth. Okay, so worship the Lord. Wake up, New World Order. Wake up, all of you people. Worship the true and living God. So here is Orion. If you look in the sky, you'll see this amazing sign in the heavens with three stars that just look like right next to each other. And even way back in the book of Job, you see him talking about Orion. It represents our Lord Jesus as the champion, and he has the lion's pelt on his arm. He is, and he has this club in his hand where he is clubbing the evildoers, and he's just such a strong champion to save us. So many of these constellations represent our Lord Jesus. Okay, some of them represent the evildoers, some of them represent the church, but this one, of course, represents our Lord Jesus. And you can spot this one so easy. Of all the ones, this one is one of the main ones that you can easily find. And then just right beside, right in front of Orion is Taurus the bull. Okay, now that picture is kind of fuzzy, but you can kind of get the idea. So there's Orion with, again, the pelt on his arm, and that he's just killed this the lion of the roaring lion who seeks whom he may devour. And there's Taurus the bull. Taurus the bull again represents our Lord Jesus as the one coming on a rampage to destroy the evildoers, coming with these horns to gouge these evildoers. And I don't find it a coincidence that a horn is also called a trump. That's a trump. And I'm telling you, President Trump is like that bull in the China shop, destroying everything that they have done, everything they've built up, and now destroying them. Did I say that he arrested these top mafia bosses? This is huge. If anybody says, well, when are we going to see arrests? Say, we did. We saw him. It's just taking a while. All right, but Taurus, if you look right here in the heart of Taurus, our Lord Jesus, again, is Taurus the bull. He's coming to save us and destroy the evildoers. You'll see Pleiades way in his heart, right in the heart of Taurus. And Pleiades represents the church. It's the beautiful seven sisters. And it's the same exact diagram that was the original seven churches of Ephesus. Super cool. So that's done. I talk about that in the book, End Times and a Thousand Years of Peace. And I also have videos on it. And I have a whole page. Actually, I have a whole page. If you want to learn more about the constellations, I have it right here under videos, constellations, right there. And you can learn more about the constellations and the biblical astronomy. If you want to learn more about that, it's really super, super cool. The Lord says he knows the stars by name. He put them there for us. He put these for signs, seasons, days, and years. All right, so yeah, Pleiades is right here that is in the heart of the bull. Because we are in his heart, he is coming to destroy the evildoers. That's the point. And it's not that he hates them, it's that he loves us to protect us from how evil they are. So seek him who made Pleiades and Orion. What is he saying? Seek him who made the people of God. Seek him who made these champions. Of course, our Lord Jesus is the number one champion to destroy the evildoers. That's what he said. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying, you know, get on the right side. Get on the side of the righteous. Get on the side of the champion who's going to destroy the evildoers because he's coming for you. So that's what he's saying. All right, so yeah, sometimes you have to really kind of dig into these things and understand, what is he talking about as far as Pleiades and Orion? That's what he's saying. Seek him I'll raise my hand. I'm very glad to be on the side of the Lord and be part of a Pleiades and Orion. Very, very thankful. Very thankful that we are part of that. Okay. So now it says he'll bring sudden destruction on the strong, so that destruction comes on the fortress. Yahweh is his name. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks blamelessly. So yeah, the Lord is going to put an end to these people. We know that. All right. Suddenly. There's your another suddenly. All right. Number 9.
The Lord gave them many chances to repent and do right. What will the Lord do to them if they don't? Therefore, because you trample on the poor and take taxes from him of wheat, you have built houses of cut stone, but you will not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great are your sins. You who afflict the just, who take a bribe and who turn away the needy in the courts.
Yes. Okay. He gave them so many chances. What will the Lord do to them if they don't? Mm-hmm. Not going to be good.
No more.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will. Everything has been taken away and it will not be given back.
Yep. Yep. Amen. 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 It's over. I love it. You've planted all these pleasant vineyards and you shall not drink the wine from them. You've taken and taken, but you won't be able to enjoy any of it. The amazing thing is, even when we have little, the Lord still gives us the blessing of being able to enjoy it. They can't even enjoy it because they're constantly living in fear. How do we cover up our crime? How do we cover up our crime? I think I've told you about that one time I had this nightmare that I had done something evil. I can't remember what it was. I was like, I had committed some crime, and I was so panicky. I'm like, oh no, they're going to catch me. I've got to go cover up my crime. It was horrible. It was a nightmare. I would hate to be in their shoes. Completely hate that. All right, number 10.
Ooh, we still have. What are their evil actions that they continue to do and ignore the Lord's warnings? Pure evil. Alas, for you who put far away the evil day and cause the seed of violence to come near, who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves on their couches and eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the middle of the stall.
Yes. Ugh. Do I need to explain to y'all what that means? Yeah. They eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the middle of the stall. Yeah, that's more literal than what we want to know. Yeah. You have put away far away the evil day and caused the seed of violence to come near. They lie on these beds of ease, thinking they're getting away with it. They will not. There are those who have entered into eternity and have been brought into judgment. But what's happening now is that they will be brought to judgment on this earth, and they'll be cast out because of eating the lambs of the flock and the calves in the middle of the stall. We're fighting cannibals. Sorry to tell y'all that, but that's who we're fighting. All right, so I think that what we better do is change this into 2 lessons. I think, I was thinking it was probably going to be 2, but I didn't say that. I had a feeling it probably would be, but because I don't want to rush through it. And so, yeah. There's no reason to rush. We've got time. And so, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed that first portion of Amos. If you haven't finished your homework, you still have time to finish your homework on Amos. And so next week we'll talk more about the destruction of the evildoers. But I'm really glad that we started with the good news that the cabal is, going to be destroyed, and we're going to have everything back for us. Before we go, I'm going to read that one more time because that's my favorite part of the book of Amos. It says, in that day, I've got so many Bible verses open. This one. Let's read this one more time before we go. The time will come when the grain and the grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I will bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands. They'll rebuild their ruined cities and they'll live in them again. They'll plant vineyards and gardens. They'll eat their crops and drink their wine. I'll firmly plant them there in their own land. They'll never be uprooted from the land I have given them. Yay. That's where we're headed as humanity. All right. So maybe we'll be there by next week. I don't know. Here we are on the 25th, and I will say that next week is the 1st of November, All Saints Day, and it's just right after the 31st of October, which is supposedly the day that Hillary gets arrested. I'm just saying, it wouldn't hurt my feelings if that's what happens. I would be happy to say that. And then November 1, when we get together to finish Amos, would be All Saints Day, as in all the saints on the earth. Don't think of saints like they've seeded our thoughts to think of saints in the Catholic Church, you know, that someone who's always standing there like this. Saints are just the righteous of the earth, the righteous of the earth. I look at November 1, All Saints Day, as the day of the righteous filling the earth. And this is the promise of the Lord, that the evildoers will be gone and the righteous will fill the earth. It says that everyone will know him, from the least to the greatest. So, yay. Thank you, Mr. Amos, if you're listening from heaven. Thank you for putting this out mm-hmm. there for us. All right. So, would you like to pray for us, Miss Tammy?
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you once again for who you are and all you do. We love your word, Lord, and we just are loving that we are living in the midst of this. Just give each person eyes to see. There's so much happening, Lord. We just ask those that do have a glimmer of what's going on, that they just continue to share it, that your word just flow throughout not only the United States but the world, because things are happening faster than we can even write them down or notate them, and there's just so much going on everywhere. And we just ask, Lord, that each person take what you hear here today and just spread it through the nations, because it's happening, and it's happening probably very quicker than we know. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word, for your promises, and that you are who you say you are, and you do what you say you'll do. So we're just living in anticipation. And for those of us that can't quite see yet, Lord, what we're going through now, which just seems like agony, this is so that when the good things start happening, that we can see the big difference. We just love you and we praise you and look forward to the golden age. Mm-hmm. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for all you are and who you do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Yes. Good job, everybody. So again, if you want to go and do more, look into this more, again, go to melissaredpill.com. You can find out the other studies. If you missed some of them, you can go on to this page right here, End Times Intro, and look there. You can also look right here to see the constellations information right over here under videos. Find out more about the constellations. And I have a whole series on biblical astronomy. So I think you'll really, really like that one. So it's really, really fun. Now, make sure that you are joined with me on all of the social media, that you have your bell rung and you're following along with all the great news. And also check into all the great information on the health. So exciting. I've got to tell you something tomorrow that happened. And it's very, very exciting to see that using natural remedies is the answer. It's the answer. I just got something to tell you tomorrow, but I'm not going to take the time to tell you now. So I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central. If you want to listen to the books, like listen to the story about Amos, or listen to the story of Zechariah, which is a long one, you can listen to me for 24 hours on my audiobooks right here. All three books I have on audiobook. And pray for us, because we're almost ready to get this Golden Age book ready. And you're going to love it. I'm so excited to share that one with you. It's just the beautiful days we can't even imagine. It's going to be wonderful. All right, I guess that's it. Let's go. Yes, hat tip to Melly. Thank you, R. Carly. Thank you. We love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, have your bell rung. I'll see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central. I love you. Oh, my song. We're going to have a song at the end.
Yeah.
We love you. Mm-hmm. And we will talk to you later.
Later.
Defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is his mighty army, and they follow his orders.